Good day, everyone, everywhere. And special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places, and Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today we're continuing our study in the Acts of the Apostle, of course written by the same author as the Gospel according to Luke, 1 Luke. And we ended up at the beginning of chapter 9. So we'll just pick up there. We'll jump right in today. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of that way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, we're talking about Paul here, a character who admittedly persecuted the church, or the called out ones, the ones who decided to follow the Messiah. Is it possible for a righteous man to be led astray and to not understand the reality of the situation that he's in? Well, I would say that perhaps it is. Because why would God choose Paul, a man who is killing people that accept the Messiah? Well, I think perhaps it is because Paul was misled. He was a zealous, very zealous man, zealous for his faith in the religion of Israel, and perhaps a righteous man, as far as righteous men go. Perhaps that the intent of his heart was truly to serve God, and he saw these people as a threat to his nation and to his people and to the religion of his nation. So we see that the Heavenly Father chooses to use Paul and pulls him into the camp of those believing. And as I said before, you know, miracles are not for the skeptics, the unrighteous, and those who practice idolatry and iniquity, because miracles won't help them. And here we see that Paul needed a personal miracle to bring him about. And so that's what happened. He was on the road, and he says, Who are you? And he says, I am Yahshua, whom you are persecuting. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen a vision. In a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said to unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. So I see here a sign that the gospel has the time for the gospel to go to the nations has been appointed. And this would signify that this is around the same time that the time determined for Israel is finished. The 70 weeks are done at this time. The Heavenly Father is raising up someone to take the gospel to the other nations, because that's what Gentiles means in this context. Of course, the word Gentiles just means nations or ethnos. And this, in context, it means other nations other than Israel. Sometimes it does refer to Israel. And I contend at this point that Israel, the status of national Israel, became equal to the status of other unbelieving nations. The national status of Israel became equal to that of the national status of other idolatrous and unbelieving nations. And the chosen people of God are now those that receive the Messiah of all nations, beginning, of course, at Jerusalem and in Israel itself. But this is the turning point here. This is where the status of national Israel changes and becomes equal to that of the other unbelieving nations. And they're treated as just as the other nations are from this point on. As far as receiving the gospel, the rest of the nations now can receive the gospel. The rest of the nations can now receive the Holy Spirit, just as Israel becomes on the same status with all of the other nations. I just want to emphasize that, because Daniel, the prophet, said 70 weeks are determined for thy people, Israel. And the time was up. The 70 weeks are gone. And we know that the desolations that were determined would come with a flood. And that flood came in 70 AD. When Jerusalem and the temple and everything was destroyed, those who were not taken captive were killed with the sword. And of course, the sword meaning by the Roman Empire. Luke continues here in relaying the narrative to us. Ananias went his way, and he entered the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Yahshua, Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. That's what it says here in the Authorized King James Version, but certainly proving that Yahshua was the Messiah by the Scripture. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Yahshua. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And it came to pass, Peter passed throughout the quarters, throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia, or Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they had laid her in an upper chamber. Forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Ah, yes, the fun begins. Now he lodged with one Simon a tanner. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." See, Peter, he was a good Hebrew boy, a good Hebrew man. He followed the dietary laws. He would not eat anything that was so-called common or unclean according to the law. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, thou that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, thrice, that means three times for all of you that are public school educated. And while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now, they were preparing a meal. Peter went up to pray. He was in this trance. He sees this vision, and he's told to do something that he would not do, and he declares that he won't do it. And the vision is withdrawn, and he's just sitting there meditating on it. So far, we don't have a message, except here's the message. Call not common what God hath cleansed. That's the message of the vision. Let's read on. He doubted. So now while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men were sent from Cornelius, made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which is surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee unto his house, and to hear words of thee." And see, here's another signification or sign that the distinction between national Israel and the other unbelieving nations, that this distinction has been broken down. The time for Israel is completed. It's determined, and the determination of that time has finished. Otherwise, Peter would not have gone. But he receives a vision. He receives a message from God, from the holy angels themselves. So Peter went down to the men which were sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am the one." And they said, "Cornelius sent for us." We're in chapter 10, verse 23. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they were entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped. And we'll have to pick up here when we get back from this short break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.